Our second reading this morning is from Ephesians chapter 6, verses 13 through 17. Let's listen to the Word of God. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God so that you may be able to withstand on that evil day, and having done everything, to stand firm. Stand therefore and fasten the belt of truth around your waist, and put on the breastplate of righteousness, the shoes for your feet. Put on whatever will make you ready to proclaim the gospel of peace. With all of these things, take the shield of faith with which you will be able to quench all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. May God bless to our understanding this reading and hearing of the most holy Word. So an airliner was flying across the country one afternoon, and the flight attendant noticed a man sitting in an aisle seat who was firmly grasping the armrest. He was holding on so tight that his knuckles were turning white. So the flight attendant approached him and said, "Sir, are you frightened?" "I'm petrified," the man said. The flight attendant reassured him, "I understand. But you really need to develop a sense of reality and balance about these kinds of things. You know, there are people who claim that when it's your time to go, it's your time to go and there's nothing you can do about it." "I understand all that," the man said, "but altogether, I'd rather be on a train." "A train," the flight attendant responded. "Didn't you hear about the train that was just going through Death Valley? Clear day, blue skies. Nothing near the track within miles and miles, and then all of a sudden, boom, it exploded and everything was lost." "My goodness," the man said, "what happened?" And the flight attendant answered, "An airplane crashed on it." Yeah, I know that story needs to go into the bad story file, but it also illustrates that, you know, just when you think things can't get any worse, they do. And we've all had times like that. We all have experiences where life is a battle, even those of us who are disciples of Christ Jesus the Lord. The writers of the Bible understood that it's not always easy to follow Jesus. In fact, they wrote some things down to remind us that God has done things to help us out along the way. And today we're going to focus on one of the most powerful resources God has given us as we encounter these daily battles: the spiritual armor of God. Before we get into it though, let's take a moment and pray together. Let's pray. God Almighty, you have offered us the protection of heaven. As we listen this morning, Lord, and try to get our limited imaginations around everything that you've done for us, give us your spirit of truth and righteousness and holiness that we may truly understand and respond to the grace you have set before us. We ask in Jesus' name, amen. So some of you are probably familiar with the passage that Paul wrote in his letter to the Ephesians, where he advises Christians to put on the whole armor of God so that we may stand against the wiles of the devil. Now, that term, armor of God, is, of course, a military term. Paul got that metaphor from a uniform that Roman soldiers used to wear. The thing is that when most of us modern Americans think about armor, we think more of a medieval knight all dressed up in mail, ready to go into battle or maybe jousting some opponent somewhere. And that may not be a bad image to help us think about what Paul is talking about when he advises us to put on the whole armor of God. So in Ephesians 6:13, Paul reiterates, "Therefore take up the whole armor of God so that you can withstand that evil day, and having done everything you can do, you can stand firm. And so then Paul talks about the, tells us to fasten the belt of truth around our waist and to put on the breastplate of righteousness. Two integral parts of ancient armor were the belt and the breastplate. They provided protection for soldiers against frontal assaults. Two integral parts of the spiritual armor of God are truth and righteousness. As we seek to live out our lives as faithful disciples of Jesus Christ, truth and righteousness are essential qualities that God makes it possible for us to develop in our lives. Earlier in Ephesians, the Apostle Paul advises his writers to put, his readers, to put away falsehood. Then he tells us to always speak the truth to our neighbors because we are one with another. Very early on, parents try their best to teach their children to always tell the truth. As we get older, though, there are certain situations we may find ourselves in where telling the complete truth may not seem quite advisable for all kinds of different reasons. But we must never underestimate the importance of always being truthful, to always let our yes be yes and our no be no. Now, some of us may remember a time when people didn't go to the supermarket to buy their meat for supper. They went to the butcher shop. Now, there may still be butcher shops around. I don't know. The only butcher I really ever remember was Sam the Butcher from the old Brady Bunch television show. Anyway, years ago, it was Saturday night at the butcher shop, and they were closed. It was so late, they had shut the front door and locked it, pulled down the blinds, and Harry the Butcher was in the back cleaning up the butcher block, that big chunk of wood that they put meat on to chop it up. There was a knock on the front door. It was one of Harry's best customers, so he let her in. She was in a panic. She explained that unexpected company had just arrived at her house from out of town. It was Saturday night, and the butcher shop would be closed on Sunday, and she had to have a chicken for Sunday dinner. So Harry walked over to the ice chest. He opened it up. He had one chicken left. So he hauled it out, plopped it up on the scale. It weighed 2 pounds, 14 ounces. The woman looked worried. "Dear," she said, "I don't think that will be enough. Don't you have anything a little larger?" Well, Harry took the chicken, went back to the ice chest, put it down in the bottom, and was rummaging around. He was actually shoving ice down inside the carcass. He pulled it back out, put it on the scale, 3 pounds, 4 ounces. "Wonderful," she said. "You've been so helpful. You've been so nice. I'll take them both." What's the old saying? Honesty is the best policy. It's not just a cute bedtime story for children. And with everything that's been going on in our nation's capital this past week, it's not just a high ideal out there somewhere. It's something vitally important, especially in the lives of those of us who bear witness, who bear witness to the reality of our Lord Jesus Christ. Righteousness is a churchy sounding kind of word, but it's very closely related to the truth. The biblical idea of truth has to do with the words that we speak. Righteousness has to do with the way we live out that truth every day in our lives. Jesus once said, "Blessed are those who hunger and thirst after righteousness. They will be satisfied." Truth and righteousness provide critical protection against the frontal assaults we meet every single day. Evil operates in lies and deceit. We put on truth and righteousness every time we make a commitment to stand by our words and maintain integrity in everything that we do. Paul expands this image of the armor of God by talking about footwear. As shoes for your feet, he says, put on whatever will make you ready to proclaim the gospel of peace. A lot of people, I think, in this day and time are kind of hesitant or maybe even afraid to talk a lot about Jesus. We may not know what it is we're supposed to say, or we're afraid of the kind of response we're going to get. But the Apostle Paul wants us to know what a difference proclaiming the gospel of Jesus Christ makes in life. In Romans 1:16, Paul says, "I am not ashamed of the gospel. It is the power of God for the salvation for everyone who has faith, for Jewish people first, but also for people who are not Jewish." There's an old story about these two guys who were playing golf one afternoon. And on one of the tee boxes, they sliced their drives way off into the woods. And so they went searching. The underbrush was very thick, and the longer they searched, the more upset they got. An elderly woman was watching it all from the back porch of her nearby house. And after what seemed like a long, long time, she finally called out, "I don't mean to interrupt you, gentlemen, but would it be cheating if I tell you where your golf balls are?" People around us every day are searching. They're searching for meaning and purpose in life. They're searching for lost values. They're searching for hope. It's not cheating to tell them where that can be found. Proclamation of the gospel of Jesus Christ not only has the power to save the world, it has the power to protect us from any kind of opposition we may ever experience. Paul then goes on to talk about faith. Along with all of these things, Paul says, take up the shield of faith so that you may be able to quench all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Hebrews 11:1 says that faith is the evidence of things not hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. We can't see God. And there is very little physical evidence we can use to prove the existence of God for people who absolutely refuse to believe. But we can trust God. We can take great assurance in God's presence. And that kind of faith provides protection against all those things that fly at us every single day. Christian author Walter Waringen writes that when he was a little boy, he was very proud of his father. He went around telling other boys how strong his father was. One day, little Walter was in his backyard climbing his favorite tree when a fierce thunderstorm blew in. And Walter got really terrified, and he started screaming for his dad. Well, Dad ran out, held out his arms, and called out, "Walter, jump!" That's the last thing that Walter wanted to hear. He wanted Dad to climb up in the tree and get him. But Dad stood on the ground with his arms held out, screaming, "Jump, Walter, jump." Well, finally, there was a big gust of wind. The tree bent over and terrified Walter let go. Dad caught him. Grown up, Walter Waringen said, up to that point, he had always talked about how strong he thought his father was, but he never really believed it until Dad caught him. That's faith. The absolute conviction that no matter what happens in life, God will catch you whenever you fall is the kind of faith that shields us against all the flaming arrows that fly at us all the time. And finally, Paul advises us to take up the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. When you call out for Jesus, the instant you call out for help from Christ Jesus the Lord, you become a part of God's family. And as a member of God's family, you have a home with God forever. And nothing can take that away from you. The whole reason Jesus came in the first place, the whole reason those first disciples went out and started churches all over the world, the whole reason we are even here to begin with is because God loves us. God loves us so much that God sent His one and only Son into this world so that the world could be saved through Him. And once you understand that, there's nothing in heaven or on earth or under the earth that can ever take that away from you. The Word of God, the gospel of Jesus Christ, becomes yours. Jesus once said, we don't live by bread alone. We live by every word that comes out of God's mouth. And it is God's word, God's promise, that Jesus loves us so much that Jesus will never let anything come between us and the love He has for us. So I don't know where you are this morning. Maybe you need to hear for the very first time or once again Paul's advice to put on the whole armor of God. Because it's as we wear truth and righteousness every day, ready to proclaim the gospel of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, carrying our faith, assured in our salvation, that the Word of God dwells in us richly. And there is nothing, absolutely nothing in all of creation that will ever be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen?
Amen?
Amen. Let's pray. God Almighty, thank You so much that even though we are who we are, You love us anyway. You've given Your Son for us and You have welcomed us into Your family. There's a lot of stuff going on in our lives and in our world that wants to get in the way of all that. Help us to remember, Lord, that You won't let it happen and that You want us to respond to You and share Your love with everyone we meet. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen.